Happy Valentine's Day to everybody listening. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, for the evening, sitting in for George Norrie. Quick update. I did a show a few weeks back. Our guest for the evening, Christine Della Parker, had talked about her 100 Bigfoot Nights and her sequel, 100 Bigfoot Nights, The Nightmare Continues. And she'd offered to allow me to come out and investigate the property. I am currently in the mode of putting together a team. We do hope to get out there sometime by April or May. And I promise I will report back on Coast to Coast AM what we find when we go out to investigate the claims of these cryptid beasts that seem to be harassing her property. Now, for all of you that naysayers out there saying, well, yeah, it's baloney and blah, blah, I have her address. I've looked through Google Maps. I've seen the location and the area, the wooded area she's speaking about. I know where she is. She hasn't hidden any of this from me. We are welcome to actually come. It's just in trying to coordinate the time with the people that I want to bring to explore this. And we do have some veterinary specialists that are going to join us, some equipment and tech specialists that will have some of the newest and most advanced technology in order to see in the dark and thermal imaging so we understand what it is that we might be looking at. So I will repeat and or I will return and tell you about that experience. And maybe I'll come back on as a guest with George and talk about what I found, if I found anything at all. So I promise I will keep you up to date about that. I know I've gotten quite a few emails, people questioning and curious what's going on with my investigation of that. So please just be patient. We've got a lot going on, and I will definitely get to that. An interesting email here, too. If you have a question or a story you'd like to share, you can also, if you can't get through on the phone lines, you can email me at dave@darknessradio.com. Here's an interesting email from Kelly. Here's a superstition that I grew up with in Pennsylvania. When visiting someone, you always exited their home through the same door you entered, so as to take your bad luck, juju, or spirits with you. And that's from Kelly. I know some people will not go out the same door they came in through. I guess maybe because of that fact, they're leaving whatever they had with them in that home. Very well could be. I want to hear what your thoughts are. Do you believe in superstitions? Do you have a superstition that we haven't talked about yet this evening or insights on any of the stories? We want to hear from you. So phone lines are open. You can give us a call. Or, again, you can email me at dave@darknessradio.com. We'll continue right here on the best in overnight talk radio. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host this evening, Dave Schrader. We've got some other emails that are pouring in here. Dave, I'm a cigar smoker. Lately, I have a ritual of shredding a cigar I've finished and placing it at the base of a tree. Then I touch the tree with the back of my hand. Don't know why, I just do it, and that comes from Don. That almost sounds like kind of appeasing the fairy folk, giving them maybe a tribute or to the tree gods or so. I don't know. Very interesting stuff. Let's go to Wild Card Line 1, Jason in New Jersey. Welcome to the show, Jason.
Yo, Dave, you're awesome, man.
Thank you.
I'm a Coast Insider. I suggest that everybody who is listening to just give it a shot, 15 cents a day. You'll love it. I listen to it every day to the point where my girlfriend, you know what, I'm not even going to bring her up right now. Anyway, I had something I wanted to talk to you about, but I not even 10 minutes ago, I just had something happen. While I was on the line, I was outside smoking a cigarette, and I came in just to get a little comfortable, and I noticed that a stick of deodorant is on my bed. Before I left my room, there was no stick of deodorant on my bed. I come back, it was on there. I'm just kind of shaky right now, but take what you want from that. But I just wanted to say that I am also Christian. I was listening to a podcast that you had put up, and I love your views, everything about, you know, what you stand for. I really appreciate it. Another thing I just kind of wanted to bring up was in the book of Ezekiel, where there is a passage, it's on the first chapter of Ezekiel, verse 4. I just want to read it. I'm not going to take too long. I know you have other callers. It says, "Then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud of raging fire engulfing itself. The brightness was all around, and it came radiating out of the midst like a color of amber out of the midst of a fire. Also, from within, it came the likeness of four living creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And this was an appearance. They had the likeness of man. Each one had four faces, and each one had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. They sparkled like the color of brushing bronze. The hands of men were under their wings on their four sides. Each of the four had faces of animals. Now, take what you want from that. Listen, I don't want it. I know you have a lot of listeners that could be atheists. I know not a lot of them are religious. But listen, the book says more than what, you know, the people of our past have done.
What do you believe they're trying to convey with that passage, though, Jason? I mean, do you believe that they're talking about aliens? I know there's some people that have talked about the fact that they believe that that might be what's being referred to.
Listen, I believe in aliens. Listen,
okay.
I believe that is that's aliens. Fire mm-hmm. in the sky. I mean, listen.
Sure.
Listen,
well, there's too many references in the Bible of strange things. I mean, if you believe the Bible is truly the word or the real stories that took place and not just parables meant to teach us right and wrong and trying to give us, you know, like Aesop's fables, there are some amazing stories. Even just during the Exodus, the thing that would hover above them and block them from the sun so that it would give them shade. It would keep them during the rainstorms. It would keep them dry. Sometimes it would lower itself onto the ground. Great voices and lights would come from it to help direct them at night. I mean, it does. It totally sounds like alien craft or UFOs.
Listen, it's amazing. And I, you know, I am not oblivious, and I hope mm-hmm. that a lot of other people aren't. But you know what? At the end of the day, you know, listen, the proof is in the pudding. You know what I'm saying? And I, like I said, I appreciate everything, Dave. You are awesome. Just keep doing what you're doing. And me on the East Coast, I will keep listening to you. Oh, and by the way, Minnesota Vikings, I love them, and I hope you do too. Everybody
I'm
supposed to host, have a great night.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Vikings, hoping that they pull something off for 2015 and 16. That's for sure. Thank you for listening and the very kind words of support, Jason. All right, let's go to wild card line three, Julio in El Centro, California. Welcome to Coast AM.
Hey, hello.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. What did you want to talk about this evening?
Oh, yeah, tonight. Actually, the whole earlier, I was listening to the first hour. I started cracking up about the whole Bloody Mary thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it before when I was a kid.
Sure. Did you ever have anything weird happen to you?
Oh, no, no. Nothing happened, but my friends were like, oh, no, don't do it. Don't do it. It's like, oh, you know what? I'm going to go in there. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to do it. I was the brave.
You're a rebel, Julio.
I was a rebel. Yeah. So, yeah, but after that, well, I guess my aunt is sensitive, I guess. It's a term, I guess. Is it?
Sure.
Like the whole, yeah. And she sees a lot of like family members that pass away. She sees them around the property, around the house.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty weird. And it's just, I don't know, the whole family just goes through this and this and that. With their experiences. But she told me, like, yeah, it runs in family. It's like, no, it doesn't. But, yeah, it does. Watch. You just wait. It's going to happen to you.
So have you ever had any kind of sensitivity? Do you feel like you pick things up from time to time?
Yeah, actually, yeah.
So she was right, huh?
Yeah, she was. But
all right.
I told her, like, bull, you know.
Well, now you've learned your lesson, right? Be respectful and believe that they know a little bit more than we do.
Yeah, my aunt is. Yeah. And then also another family member is really good at tarot cards.
Uh-huh.
I met her. This is the first time I met her ever. So, oh, yeah, my name's, you know, my name is this and this. I say, all right, my name's Julio. All right, sit down. All right, cool. Show my cards. Oh, well, you're having troubles with this. Yeah. Oh, you have oh, okay, your love is this and this and this and that. Yeah? You're going to come into money. Really? Awesome.
So was she right on these? Did she end up hitting with the deal, or was it just anybody could have made those guesses about you?
No, she made up the whole guesses with, or this friend and this friend. And then you're going to have trouble with this people and then this people, and then the cops are going to be involved. She had that right. But the money, nah. I didn't see a penny out of the money. But,
see, how much do you need to be right? It sounds like she was 90% on. Thanks a lot, Julio. We appreciate the call and for tuning in this evening. East of the Rockies, Phyllis in Harrisburg, Virginia. Welcome to the show.
Hello?
Hi, Phyllis.
Yes. I had an experience. All I've lived was 10 years ago that I played on the Ouija board with this bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Bad mistake.
Now, wait, say that again. You played on the Ouija board with a witch? Or were you communicating with a witch?
No. He was there. It was a friend of one of my family.
Okay.
And he came over one evening, and out of curiosity, I played on this board with him. And after he left, it was this little girl running through the house. And days later, things started happening in my apartment. It was like this black smoke was coming across my ceiling.
Hmm.
And come to find out, I found out the name of this spirit. And it was a spirit that he was tampering with, that he purposely sent to my home because he was involvement with one of my, children.
Okay.
And he wanted me out of the picture. So he tried to frighten me. And I've been in and out of hospitals. I've been traumatized. I'm nervous right now talking about this. I've had people come to my home to do investigations, but he would always find out about everything that I do. I couldn't do anything that he wouldn't know about. And I went to this lady, and she's a minister, and she said, Phyllis, he has a voodoo doll of you. And I about hit the floor. And while her and I were talking, his spirit died, entered. And she didn't say anything. And I said something to her. I said, did you see that? She said, yes. And I said, I know what that is. It's his spirit guide. And that guy took everything back to him. He knew everything and still does know everything that I do and my family does. And I'm having these, auras. I see different colors.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like lights that'll come from my eyes or like sparkles. And I have no idea what they are, and neither does the medical association. I'm on all kinds of pills from this trauma. I have sought all kinds of people, and they can't help me. And I don't know what to do.
Okay, understandable. I mean, it sounds terrifying if this is something you're going through with. You know, talking to some of the experts in the field that have dealt with curses and people that they feel have the ability to send demonic or dark energy to other people, sometimes you have to reclaim that power yourself, Phyllis. Sometimes you have to lay down the law, put your foot down. And, you know, if he has the ability to do this, with every yin, there's a yang, there's a black, there's a white, there's a good and a bad, then just envelop yourself in the good and put your foot down. This, you know, you are not welcome in this home. You have authority over your own location and over your own life, right? As the old saying goes, the Titanic didn't sink because it struck the iceberg. The Titanic sunk because it took the water on. Once you let it in, that's what will bring you down. You need to patch that hole up in yourself. You need to find some kind of faith and belief system within yourself. You know, whether it's a religious belief system or a metaphysical belief system, you need to find some way to assure yourself you're not this weak, broken person. You have the ability to control and take control of your own life. Don't let somebody else get into your head and do this kind of damage to you. All right? You really need to protect yourself over that.
I've gone into my families, and now there's something following them, and they have threatened them that they're going to do harm to them. And I've seen this thing that's following them.
Well, Phyllis, what I can do for you is... we'll ask that the listeners of Coast to Coast AM worldwide send good intentions, positive light, prayer, and anything that they can to focus on your family, Phyllis, in Harrisburg, Virginia, and to protect you and your family from any of this negative energy that's out there. Thank you for calling in. God bless, and I hope that things turn around for you in your life and that you feel a sense of safety as well. Let's go west of the Rockies. Danny from Denver, you're on the air.
Hello, sir. Well, I had a question about the Winchester Mystery House, and I don't know if you're familiar with that or not.
Yes, I am, sure.
Yeah, it's sort of tied into what you were talking about in the earlier segment. And if you, I don't know, have had any personal experiences because of it or with it, or if anybody else would know about it.
The Winchester Mystery House is intriguing, right? I mean, here's the home of the daughter of the guy that created the Winchester rifles, and the whole belief system was that she had to keep building this house to appease the spirits of all of the people that had been killed with this weapon. And as long as she could keep building this house, and she kept adding on to the house. And there's strange doorways and stairs that go nowhere. The idea was the fact that they were distracting the spirits and giving the spirits something to do. And literally from that moment when she got that message to the moment she passed away, there was activity of some sort being built in that house the entire time. And now I believe they're opening that up to the public for people to sleep in and spend the night in for the first time. That's something kind of relatively new. I know some people that have gone in there and investigated. Some claim that it's really crazy activity. Other people that have gone in there said they've absolutely had nothing go on. So, you know, I guess it depends. Again, are you a poltergeist agent? Do you have something about you that helps to bolster the environment or your belief system? I'm not real sure, but I haven't heard anybody going out of there with anything negative so much attached to them.
Now, see, I thought it was his wife who had gone through that a psychic...
It could be the wife. I apologize. I'm a little rusty on the story at this time, so that's why I thought it was either the wife or the daughter, but you may be right on the fact that it was the wife. Wasn't it Sarah Winchester? Is that right?
Well, yes, to do that, because the spirits of those who'd been killed by the rifle were coming back to haunt her, and the only way to offset that was to bat onto the house. What that was to do, I don't know, but just stairs that don't go anywhere, that lead into walls.
Right, the idea was to confuse the spirits so that they would always be trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. There's a lot of these strange situations that take place. I know there's even if you look at, there's a place called The Mansion. Rick Rubin, the famous music producer, owns, and this house is supposedly very haunted, and I believe it's even haunted. One of the rooms is haunted by a Karen Carpenter. If they don't play a Karen Carpenter song before they begin producing a recording, the legend has it that all kinds of things break down on them, and they have all kinds of situations like that happen. It's strange the things we have to do to appease the spirits. The Denver airport is another place like that, where they have to play music in order to appease the spirits of the Native Americans. Thank you for calling in, Danny. When we come back, we may finally have an answer to the question that was posed earlier about the killing of black people in Ireland. What did it mean? Richard in North Ireland will be next on Coast to Coast AM. Tonight's been a night of superstitions, rituals, occult beliefs. If you missed any part of tonight's show, don't worry about it, folks. It's really easy to catch up. How do you do that, you ask? Well, go to coasttocoastam.com and become a Coast Insider. Really, it is. It's only 15 cents a day. You get over 5 years of past archives of the show. You'll also get live chats with George and the other hosts of Coast to Coast, some of the best guests from around the world. You'll find links to George's TV series. You'll find news stories and so much more. Where else can you get that for about $5 or $6 a month? That's a lot of entertainment. So go check it out, Coast to Coast AM, and become a Coast Insider. Good choice on music tonight. Tom Danheiser picking my music for me. I'm a big Sinatra fan. As a matter of fact, I was just talking off air to Dan about this. I've got Frank Sinatra's pack of Camels sitting at home on my mantelpiece, his last pack of smokes he had here at the Met Center in Minnesota when he did his last tour in 1991. I think he opened up right before the Super Bowl. It was right after the Super Bowl. He came out and did a concert, and I was lucky enough to get that pack of Camels from the roadie on the stage that night. Sinatra was down off on the side of the stage shaking hands with Muhammad Ali and Evander Holyfield. And while the roadie was cleaning the stage, I said, "Hey, what are you going to do with those smokes?" And he looked down to Sinatra. Sinatra looked up at him, shrugged, and smiled. So the guy tossed me the pack. So it's always been kind of a favorite moment for me. So I've got Frank Sinatra's pack of Camels at home sitting on the counter. Big fan of Old Blue Eyes. All right, let's go back to the phone lines real quickly here. A while ago, we had some interesting calls and questions. Let's see if we can get an answer to one of those questions. Wildcard Line 2, Richard, thank you for your patience, and thank you for calling us from North Ireland. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Dave.
It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Hi, Angie. I have to say now, Dave, before I make my point, you're going to have to have a talk with Lisa Lance and stuff, because you need Tim and Molly in there as well.
Yeah, well, Tim and Molly from Darkness Radio, they're with us in spirit. Tim's right over in the other room engineering the show for me.
Yeah, good man. I enjoy your podcast, by the way. I listen to them every day on the way to work.
Thank you, Richard.
What the point I was going to make was actually about the number 13.
Okay.
If you take it in numerology terms, 3 and 1 equals to 4. Now, 4 is dedication, high morality, and in fact, it wouldn't be a bad number.
Right, and that's what some people are saying. I mean, there's some people that look at 13 as a very positive number. But again, if you're breaking it down into the numerology sect, and that's what I'd asked my guest a little bit about earlier. I mean, 13, I guess, again, everything is speculative. How do you look at it, and what is the intention you put behind these things? I've never bought into 13 being a creepy number, and I can't tell you one thing I've ever had go wrong on Friday the 13th.
Well, nor have I. And in fact, yesterday was Friday the 13th, and I'm in a difficult situation at the moment. And a lot of positive things happened for me yesterday, which was Friday the 13th. I think most of it, Dave, is down to people's superstitions. Mm-hmm. And I think it's down to, as your previous guests have alluded to, maybe religious connotations over the years. But I think if you look at the number 13, I don't think it's really a bad number. I think it's actually can be quite positive.
Sure. Like anything, again, it's all in how you look at it. I'm going to be out in Ireland along with, I think, about 40 of our listeners in September, Richard. We're looking forward to touring your beautiful land and seeing your haunted castles and hotels and cemeteries, and we'll be investigating out there. We'll have to see if somewhere along the line you can come out and say hi to us.
Well, actually, Dave, I've emailed you, and you actually read my email out. I've already invited you. I've given you my phone numbers, and if you get there, I'll take you for a pint and a steak. So well, if you should still have that email, and if you get over there and you get in contact with me, I will take you and your team out for a pint and a few steaks.
All right, I'll give you a call on that, Richard, when we get out there. Let me ask you, we had a caller earlier in the show, and he said something about there was a superstition about killing black people in Ireland. Do you know anything about that superstition?
I do, but that's totally wrong. That's not how it goes. There's a thing called the Black Irish, and this goes back, going way, way back, Dave. And actually what it was, the Black Irish were actually the Protestant community within Ireland, and they were called the Black Irish because they were outside of the sort of normal or setup in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And they were called Black Irish. And it really wasn't about killing people. It was a time whenever things were happening back here in the 1800s, and there was fights between the Catholic and Protestant community, and the Protestant people were called the Black Irish, but it wasn't about black people, it wasn't about African Americans or anything like that. That is totally wrong.
Oh, great. Well, thank you for updating us and letting us know about that, Richard. I appreciate you listening to Coast and being a part of the show with us this evening. Let's go take our final break. We'll come back. We've got Tony in Denver, David in Oregon, and Jamie in Ontario on deck right here in the Best in Overnight Talk Radio. You're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. My name is Dave Schrader. I'll be back hosting Coast on the 27th and 28th of February. I hope you will join me. Let's go back to the phone lines. Wild card, line four, Tony in Denver. You're on the air.
Hello, Dave.
Hi, how are you?
I just wanted to bring up a few things that I thought were interesting, like number 13.
Sure.
I found out Taylor Swift said that that's her lucky number, and she like always writes it on her hand before she does a show. I just thought that was interesting.
Sure.
And also, I did Bloody Mary, but that never really worked. That just, like, scared me when I was a kid. Like,
yeah.
Feathers stiff as a board also. I remember that, but it never really worked.
And see, then, that was something that always amazed me. I've done the stiff as a board, light as a feather at a few parties when I was a kid growing up. Always freaked me out. And I still, and I know they say, oh, it's physics. It's the way everybody's positioning. I still don't understand how a group of teenage boys and girls could lift a full-size person with just the tip of their fingers while doing that. It's, I don't, to me, it was always just, that was fascinating and a bizarre little deal. But yeah, the stiff as a board, light as a feather thing is just totally weird.
It might be possible because nowadays, like just all the dark forces and these energies that are going around. And also there is another superstition of sleeping with socks, like on or off.
Sleeping with socks on?
Yeah, sleeping with socks. Like off okay. Or something.
Huh.
Maybe feel like your spirits will like mess with you or something.
Yeah, I've never heard of that. I know a lot of people that don't like to sleep with their feet outside of the blankets for fear that the spirits will mess with them.
Yeah. And also about when you bite your tongue. Like a little superstition that someone's thinking about you when you bite your tongue.
Really? That, now that's another one I hadn't heard about before.
Yeah. And dead man's boots are bad luck, supposedly.
Well, yeah, I think dead man's anything would be bad luck, not necessarily something that I want to tote around with me. Thank you for calling in. Let's go to wild card line five. David in Oregon, welcome to the show.
Hi. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
The reason I'm calling tonight is because, first off, it's been kind of fascinating listening to the people as I've been waiting on hold that have the different things that happen to them. I'm not really talking about a superstition per se, but what I had happened to me, I'm 50 years old this year, and if you keep your eyes open and you don't write things off as you go through life, things happen that, for whatever reason, can't be explained. And
right.
There's a lot of people that just have a tendency to kind of, you know, write things off and say, I don't know what that means. Well, I had, this happened about 20 years ago, and this goes back to what you were talking about, I don't know how many callers ago, with asking about, do you think that the aliens or the technology that you may see is something that the government has, or is it something that is extraterrestrial? And this happened about 20 years ago. It was on a Sunday afternoon. It was during the middle of the day. My wife went outside to smoke a cigarette, which luckily we quit years ago. But I was watching a Seahawks game. As she stepped out the front door, she said, "David, come here." And I sat there and said, "The dame's on, honey, hang on a second." She goes, no, come here. And you can tell in that voice when a person means something. So I got up and I walked outside. And as I walked outside, like I said, it was middle of the day, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was just making a last circle as it came down, like a corkscrew motion. And it stopped and it hovered. What it was black, kind of teacup shaped is the right way to put it, I guess, but it's not really, it's big, it's huge, and it had these flashing lights that chased each other like Christmas lights around the outside edge of it, and it hovered and it stopped, and I, to give you an idea, distance probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 football fields up above us, but it's huge, this thing is big, and then we both were sitting there staring at it, and as soon as it stopped and hovered, it stayed there for a few seconds, and then it started just kind of moving slowly. But as it did that, the Christmas lights, or whatever you want to call them, the chasing lights, turned off. And then these, the best way I can explain it, look like flash bulbs from all over in different spots underneath the ship or what, kind of hard, strange to say, but all over the ship started flashing. And it just started slowly going across the horizon, going towards the horizon. I ended up running to every one of the neighbor's house, pounding on doors, and luck would have it that there was nobody that was home at this particular time. I ended up, as the thing floated off over the horizon across the hillside that we have across in this little town that I live in, on top of my roof, trying to get a picture of it. It went that slow, but it made absolutely no sound, and it had no propulsion system. And this is something that, when you were talking about, that's the reason why I decided to call up, because I had this discussion with somebody here at work the other day about if it is the government and they have this propulsion system. I'm not one of these people that is necessarily, you know, a conspiracy theorist, but the government has the ability to be able to, you know, make something fly with absolutely no noise, no chemical trail, no. They have the ability. I don't know. When you ask that question, I don't know in my mind. Is it extraterrestrial or is it, you know, from the government? I don't know.
You know, I buying into kind of the idea that the government has created some things and maybe we've back engineered it from alien technology, or we're just that smart and we're using the ideas that were created by, you know, the Nazi government was working on UFO type craft and came over here to work on our rocket propulsion systems and give us some information. If we've just kind of moved in leaps and bounds but kept it quiet, that's fascinating to me. I have a tendency to believe, though, especially with the way things are going around the world right now in so many volatile spots, if we truly had technology like that, where we could go in and do the things that these craft are able to do, we would show dominance so quickly and shut down these powers around the world that think they're going to try to bully us and hurt our people and threaten our people. I don't know that we wouldn't be using that more often. I don't know where your thoughts are on that. Or, you know, would the government keep that quiet and sacred until we really need it? But at what point do you decide enough's enough, we really need this, we need to shut these people down, and we're going to show the true superiority we have over the sky?
The thing I think about that over the years is what's kind of crept into my mind. And it's not necessarily military. It's about power in the world. And the people who have the most power are the oil companies. Now, I know that we're seeing a huge reduction in the oil prices, but the people who still have the money and the ability to be able to buy up patents, and I think we've all heard these different things that happen through, you know, about some new technology for a car or an engine that gets, you know, way better gas mileage than what we are getting right now. And then somehow the patent gets bought up and it just gets shelved and it never gets brought back into society until, you know, if it ever will. Well, that's what I've wondered. Is there something that the oil companies have that is going to be miraculously just introduced when you see the oil supplies going real low? I don't know. There's definitely something out there, and I just wanted to call and tell you. I've heard all these stories be told from different people, and I wanted to kind of throw mine out there and let you know. And there is something
out there.
Well,
thank you. Yep, I agree. Thanks for listening and calling in. Let's go to the international caller line, Jamie in Ontario. Oh, well, let's jump over to west of the Rockies, Jim in Portland.
Oh, hi, Dave. I was, by the way, on Friday the 13th, our governor resigned. He might be a little superstitious now. Have you ever heard anecdotes about a kind of a linkage between psychic abilities and eye color? I heard something, I don't know, about 8 months ago, and I went over to an internet cafe and Googled up psychic abilities and eye color and found a few more anecdotes, and that I was thinking maybe there's a little epigenetic effect. It would be a cause, not an effect, the eye color, I would imagine. But I'm a little disturbed by it, and I was wondering if you ever heard any stories about
that. Actually, that's really new to me. That's something I've got a lot of friends that are in the metaphysical field and are psychic or medium or believe themselves to be. I'll definitely have to start talking to them about that and maybe do a little bit more research on that myself. But thank you for bringing that to my attention.
Yeah. Thanks, Dave.
All right. Let's go east of the Rockies. Could this be, we're going to talk to Tony from Orlando and it's almost dawn.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
Doing good. How about you, Tony?
I'm doing well. I had a question about numerology and the combinations of 11 and 11. I see it all the time in addresses, look up at the clock, several of my children, birth dates, if you As the month, this day, it turns out to be 11. Someone had told me that it meant something angelic, or that there was like a guardian angel or something like that. Have you ever heard anything about?
Yeah, actually, Marie D. Jones and Larry Flaxman wrote a book called 1111, The Time Prompt Phenomena, and there's a lot of different talk and speculation about that. I was born on November 22nd, 1122. Those are master numbers and believed to be powerful numbers if you buy into the numerology aspect of things. Why do people start to recognize it? I notice 1, 2, 3, 4. People notice different times and different numbers because they mean something to them. Or somebody tells you about the 11-11 time prompt phenomena, you start to notice it. What you don't notice is how many times you may be looking at the clock during the day, but it's when you see that, it's a mnemonic trigger. It's like, you go out and you buy yourself a purple PT Cruiser. Nobody else has got one, and as soon as you're driving, all you can see on the road are the thousands of purple PT Cruisers. Well, did they just suddenly appear, or were they always there, but now you're more aware of them because it's part of your reality? And I think that that has a lot more to do with it. It's kind of these mnemonic triggers, these recognizable patterns. That's why sometimes when somebody's on your mind, grandpa, grandma, somebody that's passed away, and all of a sudden you notice a pack of Pall Mall cigarettes. Nobody smoked Pall Mall cigarettes for a long time, but that's what grandpa used to smoke. But you know what? Maybe you just noticed that pack today because grandpa was on your mind, and not necessarily because it was a true sign from the other side. But I guess we won't have the real answers to that until we're over on that line. But yeah, check out the book 1111, The Time Prompt Phenomena, from Marie D. Jones and Larry Flaxman. There might be some information in that book that you'll find helpful. All right?
Interesting. Thank you. Oh, by the way, I love the story about Sinatra and the camels. My father was a huge Sinatra fan, as well as I am, and it was really nice to hear.
Yeah, he was a great performer. I had the great pleasure of seeing him quite a few times between 1988 and 1991. And what a just a great showman, just a fantastic guy. I want to thank everybody for tuning in and spending the evening here with me. I wish everybody out there in listener land a very happy Valentine's Day filled with laughter and love. And I'll be back hosting Coast to Coast on the 27th and 28th of February. And you can follow me along with my show, Darkness Radio, the best in paranormal talk radio, Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. till midnight. For more information, check out our website at darknessradio.com. Tomorrow, Saturday, February 14th, a little later on today, maybe for most of you, Connie Willis will be hosting Coast to Coast. Christopher Garitano, writer and director of the Montauk Chronicles, will be her guest. And Sunday, George Knapp. We'll be joined by George, Anastasia, and Mary Alina. They'll be talking with you on that show, so make sure you check them out and be a part of it. I want to thank my guest this evening, Mitch Horowitz, for talking to us about superstitions, the occult, and rituals. Dan Galanti, Tom Danheiser back at home base for making things run so smoothly this evening. Tim Dennis, my engineer in Minneapolis. Lisa Lyon and George Norrie, thank you all for letting me be a part of this world. You've been listening to the best in overnight talk radio. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM.